about tolerating or tolerance for things. I don't believe in treating people in a bad way. I don't believe in treating people because they choose something different than me in a terrible way or persecuting them for that. But I don't believe that tolerance and love are the same thing. I can love someone and not tolerate the wickedness that they have in their lives. I'm not going to allow those things to continue. In fact, what I usually tell people is love people where they are, but love them enough not to leave them there. There's problems that people have. There's things that people endure and have to deal with. You see, Jesus was brought this woman that was caught in adultery. Was what she was doing right? Absolutely not. You know what Jesus told her? Go and what? Sin no more. Did Jesus treat her with love and respect? Absolutely. You can love people. You don't have to tolerate things, the wickedness and the sin that's going on. Zacchaeus came to Jesus and Jesus said, you need to change some things about what you're doing. But Jesus loved him. And there was other places and other people that you find throughout Scripture. Those whom I reprove, or who I love, chapter 3 and verse 19 says, and to another one of the churches, I reprove and I discipline. Those I love, I reprove and I discipline. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the message to Sardis is, growth is expected. I expect that you grow. I expect that you continue to change. I expect that you continue to strengthen what you're doing. Wake up. Strengthen the things that remain, verse 2 says, that were about to die, for I've found that your deeds are completed. I've found that you have not completed your deeds in the sight of God. You've not grown to where I wanted you to grow to. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11, you might remember, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, your knowledge temperance, and on down the line. When you get to the end of that verse, it says, for if these are yours and they are increasing, they'll render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the ways of God. We're to be growing as a church. We're to be improving every single day. Will we ever be perfect? No. Not until the Lord comes back. But we're to be growing and improving. To the next church, to Philadelphia, he tells them, I see you. I see you. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. Behold, I'll cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews or not, I will make them come and bow down at your feet. Look, I see what you're having to go through. I understand what you're dealing with. Much like what he said back in chapter 2 to Smyrna. I see you. I understand that you're going through things. Stay faithful. But isn't it a great thought to know that God sees? Back in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13, Hagar gives this great name to God, El Roy. And what it means is he's the God who sees. When she was in her struggles and she was in her trials, when she was going through those difficulties, she knew that God saw her. She also knew that God saw those who were persecuting her. To the church there in Philadelphia, he says, I see the ones who are persecuting you. And I'm going to make it right one day. I'm going to deal with it one day. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, don't repay evil for evil. But what does it say? For vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. Hang in there. I'm going to take care of it eventually. A lot of what you see in chapters 8 through 20 seem to deal with taking care of the trial, the things that they were having to go through and what Satan was putting them through. And he says, hey, look, ultimately Satan's lost. I'm going to deal with him. You just stay strong. You persevere. You stick with me. And number 7, the last church to Laodicea, he writes, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, the amen, the faithful, the true witness. And he goes on to say, look, I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot, but you're lukewarm. See, the church in Laodicea was in what's called the Lycus River Valley. And on one side you had Hierapolis, and on another side you had Colossians, the book of Colossians. Those two cities were known. Colossians, I remember it this way. I don't know if the Lord just knew some of us needed help remembering it. Colossae had cold water springs. Hierapolis had hot water springs. Starts with an H, starts with a C. But Laodicea was known for their tepid, terrible tasting water, because it was neither cold nor hot. It was where those springs mixed together and it wasn't any good. And so when he writes to the church, he says, let me remind you about that water and how y'all don't like your own water. I don't like the way that you're living. You're neither cold nor hot. I want you to zealously live for your King. I want you to be hot, but I want you to choose. Which one are you going to be? And he goes on to tell them about, you think you're rich and you think you're wealthy. You think you need nothing, but you actually are struggling in a lot of areas. I want you to be zealous for me. I want you to be on fire for me. The king is alive. And the king expects his people to live for him. In just a moment, when we offer the invitation, I'm going to share some final thoughts about Revelation with you when we get to that point. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to serve you. Father, help us to be on fire for you. Help us to stand up under the trials and the struggles that come our way. Father, help us to do all the things that we have been called to do. Help us to grow. Help us to know that you see us. Father, help us to love people and help bring them to a place where they can be with you. Father, we know that all things are yours. We know that you are the King of Kings and that you are the Lord of Lords. And Father, we pray that as we serve you, you'll help us to do so in a way that's pleasing. Father, we look forward to the time that we get to be with you. We look forward to the time that we get to see you face to face. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Nate. Not on. Now we're on?
Yeah, we're on.
Good evening and welcome to Florence Boulevard. We're glad that you're with us tonight. If you're a visitor, please take one of the cards from the pew in front of you and fill that out. Hand that to one of the regular members. Somebody that looks like a regular member, we'll make sure that the elders get that, and we'd like to have a record of your visit with us. And we'd like to be able to contact you. So if you don't mind, fill one of those out for us. Please continue to pray for those that are sick, grieving, and shut in. The men's breakfast for this Friday is canceled due to the paving project. There will be a baby girl baby shower for Sheena Holt this Sunday, August the 28th, from 2:30 to 4 in the family room. She's registered at Amazon and Target. Shower team 4 is the hostess. We're having a baby boy diaper pounding for Mercedes Beckman beginning this Sunday, August the 28th, and going through September the 11th. A basket is located in the foyer. And I will say, if Greg Allen was up here making announcements, he would have a comment to make about that, but I'm not going to. I will refrain from making a comment. World Bible School Benefit Dinner is this Tuesday, August the 30th at 6:30 here at Florence Boulevard. A sign-up sheet's on the table located by the sound room right outside the auditorium here. This is for anybody in the congregation that wants to come and learn about World Bible School. This is not just for the people that are active in World Bible School. Of course, they're invited as well. But if you would, the president of World Bible is going to be here speaking. So if you would like to come and hear more about World Bible School, please sign that list in the foyer so we'll know how many to fix food for. If you're interested in purchasing a T-shirt for the church-wide retreat, please sign the sheet located also on that same table outside the sound room. And the deadline to purchase those is going to be Wednesday, August the 31st. We're in charge of the worship this Sunday, the 28th, at 2 p.m. at Cedar View Nursing Home, the Cedar View facility. We're going to also conduct the worship service there each Sunday on the third Sunday of each month, starting in September, and that'll be at 2 p.m. as well. Your attendance or assistance in these opportunities will be appreciated by the residents and staff of the Cedar View facility. Please contact Jake Van Dyke if you can help in this. I have a list of the items that will be for auction at the Ride to the Home. There's about 20 copies on this table out here in the foyer. If you'd like to know what's going to be up for auction this Saturday, please remember to sign that. There's going to be several people from here cooking food and doing things for the children's home benefit. If you can and you're free at 11 o'clock on Saturday, we would enjoy to have you over there at the children's home. It'll be actually at the home up in Green Hill. So if you can participate in that, we would appreciate your presence there. Also, we will be taking donations for the children. We would also appreciate that. So all the announcements I have at this time. Now we'll begin our period of worship.
First song this evening will be number 791, and we'll sing the first and last.
On bended knee, as I bless my love of you.
If you go to the book of Colossians chapter 3, you find, or chapter 2 rather, you find that there is a passage about what happened with Jesus at the cross. It says in verse 14 that he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken them out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. The interesting part of that is he says Jesus, when he was going to the cross, had our sins and all these things against that were against us nailed to the cross. And so in our minds, when we see Jesus walking down the streets of Jerusalem, we see him going and being, conquered in a sense, would be what we would think about, that Jesus was tortured and that he was ultimately killed. But the book of Colossians, and really all through the New Testament, there's actually a different image. That when Jesus was going to the cross, he was actually in victory going to the cross. He was disarming the rulers and the authorities. He was disarming all the spiritual things that were against us. And it says he even made a public display of them. That they were the ones who were being marched through the streets, being made fun of as those who have lost in battle. There's a thing called Gloria that the Roman Empire, if you were a Caesar, if you were a king, if you were someone who was going to rise up into that place, you had to have conquered. That's why Alexander the Great conquered everything he could. It was this idea of glory. Well, Jesus conquered. But Jesus conquered at the cross. And Jesus, in doing so, paved the way for us. We talked about earlier, Jesus is King. He's alive. Jesus is the King that we, as his people that follow him, are expected to live for him. In a similar chapter in Ephesians, a couple of books before that, in the book of Ephesians, he talks about that he conquered and that he, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts. When they would go through the streets, they would lead these captives, and then they would give gifts to the people around them. So he gave out gifts to the church. He gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping of the saints and the service, the work of the service. So as he conquered as king, he gave us opportunities. And he expects things from us. To the victor, you might have heard, goes the spoil. And so he has given to us, not only in this life, talents and abilities and roles within the church that we're to do, but he's also given us something in eternity. To the churches in Revelation, he wrote these things. We looked at each of the kind of messages that he gave to them. But to each of the churches, he wrote, to the one who conquers. To the first church, he says, to the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The very thing that they couldn't eat of in the garden. He wrote that to Ephesus, to Smyrna. He wrote to the one who conquers, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. To the next church, to the one who conquers, I'll give him the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone with a name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. What is that stone about? Well, that was the way that they would acquit someone who was on trial. It was a sense in which they were passing over the things that they had done. He's going to do that. The one who conquers, in chapter 2, verse 26, he says, the one who conquers and who keeps my works unto the end, I'll give authority to the nations. To the one who conquers will be clothed thus with white garments and will never blot his name out of the book of life. To the church at Sardis, to the church at Philadelphia, he says, to the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And to the church at Laodicea, to the one who conquers, I will grant that he sit with me on my throne. Jesus intends for us to be with him. Jesus intends for us to have a place with him. These letters were written to these very specific churches, but they're also written to us. He expects us to overcome. He expects us to keep on. He expects us to keep working. He expects us to be zealous in the work. God intends for his people to live like him. If we are going to carry the name Christian, then we should live like it. Or we should stop carrying the name Christian. Live like Christ. And in the end, he says, the world of trouble will be done away with in Revelation 21. The separation from God will be done away with. Sorrow will be gone. The fear of death will be gone. Physical pain will be gone. Spiritual longing will be erased. Wickedness will be destroyed. Why? Because the king's alive and his people are going to be with him. You know, that name that was given to Jesus, Emmanuel, means God with us. He came to be with us because what he ultimately wanted was for us to be with him. And he's gone to prepare a place for us. And if he's gone to prepare a place, he'll come again to receive us to him. Tonight, have you given your life to Christ? Have you dedicated yourself to him? He died for you. He's alive again. And he calls for you to live for him. Repent of your sin. Believe in him. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Be buried in baptism with him. Raised up to walk in newness of life. If you've done that, but you've not lived for him, maybe there's one of those messages to the church that we talked about that you needed. Maybe you needed a little push. Maybe you needed a little encouragement. If that's the case, then we want to encourage you as well. Live for him so that you can live with him in eternity. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?
Sunday for worship starting at 9 and classes to follow. As we close tonight, we'll sing one verse of A Common Love and then be dismissed in prayer.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word.
Would you bow with me? Dear Lord, we're so grateful that you've seen fit to let us assemble together here without fear of outside forces, Lord, to be able to study another portion of thy word, sing songs of praises to you, come to you in prayer. Lord, we're thankful that you sent Brother Ben Hayes our way, Lord. Hopefully we'll be able to take something from his lesson, apply it to our lives, go out into the world and spread your gospel. Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings you bestow upon us each and every day, and I ask that we would never take those for granted. Lord, we're thankful for those men and women that choose to serve in the military. We ask that you'd be with them, keep them safe, whether it be stateside or abroad, and especially those that are in harm's way at this time. Bring them home safely if it be your will. Lord, we're mindful of those missionaries that go forth from this congregation, our sister congregations the world over. Lord, we ask that the work that they do would be beneficial, that they'd be able to sow the seed. Those countries would be receptive to thy word, Lord, and let that work carry on. Lord, we're mindful of those children in Haiti that are suffering. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless them, that you'd be able to do something that would ease that burden and just make it a better place, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for the elders and the deacons and the ministers that serve here, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless them and their families and give them many years of service in thy kingdom. Lord, we ask to you to bless each and every member that chooses to be associated with Florence Boulevard, Lord. We ask that you would continue to bless them and keep us safe as we leave this place tonight. We ask you to forgive us of our many sins. But most of all, we thank you for your Son and the sacrifice you made. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.